Well, hey everybody, welcome to episode 258 of the Ankeny Fanatic Weekly Podcast. As always, it's brought to you by our good friends at Coldwell Banker MidAmerica. Their integrity guides their focus to empower people to make the best real estate decisions possible. They pair local ownership and knowledge with the power of an international brand and the most advanced technology to elevate the customer experience and expectations. Their network of resources allows them to be the number one Coldwell Banker franchise affiliate in Iowa, guiding you home for over 30 years. All right, well, we're going to talk a lot of soccer tonight and preview the Ankeny Derby that is coming up on Friday at Northview. The girls' game will be played at 5:30, with the boys' contest to follow at 7:30. It'll be youth soccer night, so if you are a club player, you can wear your club jersey and get into the games for free. And we're going to talk to one of the seniors from each of the four Ankeny and Centennial squads tonight. Leading off is a senior forward and captain for the Centennial boys team, and he has signed a letter of intent to play next year at Western Illinois. He has scored a team-high 12 goals, which is tied for 8th in Class 4A, and he's also contributed 5 assists for the Jaguars. He is Ty Duax. Ty, thanks for joining me. How you doing?
Good. How are you, man?
Yeah, I'm doing good. We've had a great career playing for your dad there at Centennial. Coming into the season, you had helped the Jaguars to a 41-15 record over the last 3 years and 3 straight trips to the state tournament. You've been a 3-time first-team all-conference pick and a 2-time all-state selection. You know, but this year has certainly been a struggle for the team. You guys entered the game on Friday with a 5-9 record. You could be headed for a losing season for the first time in school history. You know, has it been a frustrating year for you personally?
Yeah, it's a rough start to the year, but this is a learning curve. We have a lot of young guys right now, so we're just trying to do our best to take it step by step.
Of course, you guys lost some talented seniors off last year's squad, and then Truckee graduated early and left to play for the Minnesota United FC Under-19 Academy team. You know, so that left a huge hole to fill in the lineup. You know, did you think the team might struggle a little bit after Truckee left?
Yeah, I did. He's obviously a great player. He's going to be a big miss for us, or he is a big miss for us, but we got my brother back now, and we have a lot of other talented players up front, so I think we're handling it pretty well.
Yeah, we'll talk about Tate here in a minute. You know, and even though the team has had some ups and downs, you know, you guys have had some big wins. No win was bigger than the one last Tuesday. It was a 3-2 victory at Johnston, and that avenged a loss to the Dragons in the semifinals of last year's Class 4A state tournament. You know, you had 2 of the goals that night, and Lucas De La Cuba added the other one. Yeah, I'm sure it felt great to win that game on their home turf. You know, do you think that game shows what this team is capable of when you guys put it all together?
Oh, yeah. If we play with that intensity and that just passion that we did last Tuesday, I don't think anyone in the state can beat us.
Well, you mentioned your brother. Tate had a pair of assists in the win, and he now leads the team with 6, even though he has played in just 7 games since he joined the roster. And for those of you who aren't familiar with Tate's story, he had been playing with the Austin FC Academy team until early last month when he elected to return to Ankeny and join the Jaguars squad. And I know it's been a little bit of an adjustment for him to get acclimated to high school soccer, but you know, I'm sure you've been thrilled to play alongside him. What has Tate brought to the squad, and do you think, you know, he kind of raises the ceiling for what this team could potentially accomplish?
Oh, for sure. He brings just a lot of pace on the wing. It's just an easy outlet for us when we're struggling to build. He gets to the byline and crosses balls into the box consistently, so he's a very dangerous player for us.
Well, you guys also battled number 5 Valley in overtime last Thursday before dropping a 3-2 decision to the Tigers, who got a hat trick from Preston Kipnusu. He is tied for the lead in Class 4A with 18 goals, and I can see why. He's a 6'5" guy who's very athletic, and he looks like he could be a tight end in the NFL. I know you've known Preston for a long time. You know, he's pretty unstoppable there in the box, isn't he?
Yeah, he's pretty good in the aerial duels there. Knowing him from club, that was what we were trying to limit. We were doubling him on every set piece, but I mean, you can't really stop a guy that's 6'5" and that athletic.
Well, now you guys will be looking to rebound from Saturday's 1-0 loss to Pleasant Valley. I know your dad said that the team kind of lacked energy and excitement against the Spartans, but you know, I'm sure the players, you know, won't have any trouble getting up for Friday's crosstown rivalry. Ankeny enters the game with an 8-6 record, but the Hawks have lost 3 of their last 4 games after getting off to a 7-3 start, and they were once ranked as high as 3rd in Class 4A. You know, so what do you think are going to be the keys to this game?
I think we're going to have to use our players' strengths to our advantage. Some players are good with their back to goal. Some players are good playing balls behind. Some players are faster. We just have to play to our strengths and play with passion, and I think we can come through with this W.
Well, Landon Benj is Ankeny's top scorer with 10 goals. Do you think he'll be the primary focus of your team's defensive effort?
Yeah, for sure. He's a very quick player, very good on the ball. He's very good in behind, so we're going to try to limit the big balls, try to limit everything, really anything that goes to him. Really, we're going to try to limit it, and hopefully we can win.
Well, Ankeny leads the all-time series 5-4, but you guys have won two of the last three meetings, including a dominant 4-0 win in last year's game. You had a goal in that game and have now scored 43 career goals, which has tied Truckee for the school record. You already held the school record for career assists with 43, so now you've got a chance to set that to scoring record as well. You know, would it mean a little more to you if you could set that mark against Ankeny?
Yeah, no, that'd be great. I actually didn't know I was tied for the record until you just told me that, so that's going to be a little bit of an extra boost for me in this game this Friday.
Yeah, I had to do some math today. I had to look it up, but yeah. I figured you were probably pretty close to what Truckee had. Well, after Friday's game, you guys will have two more games left in the regular season, both of them on the road. You'll go to Southeast Polk on Tuesday and then to number 3 Waukee Northwest on May 10th. And I saw the Wolves beat Ankeny a week ago, and they were really impressive. You know, that's a game, though, that really should help prepare you guys for the postseason, don't you think?
Yeah, no, it did the same thing last year. They're a very talented side. A lot of them are my club teammates, so I pretty much know what to expect. They're going to keep the ball. They're going to play pretty good style of soccer, and hopefully we can do our thing and get another upset there.
Well, it's possible that you guys, you know, might have to beat a team like Northwest in order to qualify for state. Mm-hmm. With your record, you're obviously not going to get a high seed in the sub-state tournament, so it seems very likely that, you know, you could have one of the CIML's top teams in your bracket, you know, whether it's Northwest or Johnston, Dowling, or Valley. You know, but you guys aren't going to be afraid of anybody, are you?
No, sir.
Well, Ty, thanks a lot for coming in tonight. I appreciate it, and good luck on Friday night. I'll see you there.
Thank you.
You bet. All right, well, my next guest is a senior defender for the third-ranked Ankeny girls team, and she has contributed one assist while helping the Hawkettes to an 8-3 record. She has been a 2-time second-team all-conference pick for Coach Simon Brown. She is Liz Proctor. Liz, thanks for joining me. How are you doing?
Good, how are you?
I'm doing good. Well, you guys are having another great season. I wanted to recap what has already happened before we break down into Friday's game. Of course, coming into this year, you were still recovering from the knee injury that you suffered during last year's state tournament game against Dowling Catholic. You underwent ACL surgery. I know that's a long road back from that type of injury. Was that the most difficult thing that you've ever had to deal with?
Yeah, I think it was the hardest thing I've had to deal with throughout my whole life. It was a very long 9 months of my life, and it was more, the physical battle was a little tough, but it was more mentally going through everything that was hard.
Well, yeah, I was just going to ask you if it was more mentally or physically challenging. So can you go into a little more detail about the mental struggles that maybe that involved?
Yeah, it was really hard. Like, I've based my whole life around soccer, and, like, my whole, like, plan has been, like, soccer. And then after tearing it, it was like I had to slow down and, like, relook at my whole life and be like, okay, so is soccer going to be what I want to do? And I just had to, like, take a step back and be like, okay, I got to figure out the rest of my life, because now, like, this is a huge step back for me. I have 9 months to, like, get my body back to normal and then figure out if I want to continue soccer or not.
Well, do you feel like you're the same player now that you were a year ago?
I would say no. I think I have more of appreciation for soccer and, like, what it's all done for me. And I'm still trying to get back into my normal fitness shape, because I'm just, like, not at the normal, like, physical.
Sure.
But I'm definitely more mentally ready for all these games.
Do you think more in terms of what you're physically capable of doing now, is it more of a stamina issue, or is just the ability to cut certain directions?
It's more stamina. I'm, like, my knee is very strong, and, like, I have a lot of confidence in my knee. So it's more just the stamina, like, making sure I can play the full 80 minutes.
Gotcha. Well, you're part of the team's very strong defense that has played a huge role in the Hawkettes' success. You guys are 5-0 in the CIML Conference, and you control your own destiny in terms of trying to win the conference title. And I know you guys have bigger goals than winning the conference, but, you know, you play in such a tough league that winning that title, you know, would still mean a lot. Have you guys talked much about, you know, winning the conference and what that would mean?
We mentioned it once as a team after we beat Northwest, and we were like, wow, guys, like, we're actually in the running to win conference. Like, we just have 2 more big games to win, and then we'll win conference. So we have it in the back of our minds, but it's like the biggest. Like, obviously we want to like, make it to state. That's our first, like, big goal to get to.
Your team already owns wins over 4 top 10 teams, but, you know, none of them were bigger than the one that you mentioned there. Last Tuesday's 2-0 victory at number 1 Waukee Northwest. And I wasn't there that night, but I know the outcome wasn't a fluke, because you guys really dominated the run of play that night. Did you guys go into that game with the confidence that you could control the game the way that you did?
Yeah, we came in knowing it was going to be, like, one of the hardest games we'll play, like, the first hardest game. And we were like, okay, guys, like, we know this is going to be the toughest team. Like, we know all the good players, and if we can shut them down and if we can just like, focus on the game, like, we have such a good chance. Like, we're, like, one of the last teams that they're going to play that can actually beat them. And so we went knowing that we had a good chance of beating them, and that we weren't scared to lose, and they were scared of us.
Well, you guys have now won 4 of your last 5 games since dropping a 1-0 decision at Cedar Falls on April 15th. And I know that game was really an outlier for your squad. I think you guys outshot them by a 30-1 margin that night, but you just couldn't find the net. And then, of course, the Tigers' only shot happened to go in. Do you think you guys learned a lesson that night, though? Because it seems like you've just been an even better team since that game.
I think that game was honestly like a reality check for us. Like, we realized like how we need to play as a team. Like, it honestly helped us reset because, like, after, like, our other games, we were just, like, kind of going through the motions. But once that game, like, after we lost, we were like, okay, guys, like, this is, like, real. Like, we have to, like, play all these games. Like, they all mean something. So we all just, like, finally, like, focused in on soccer and played as a team.
Well, your team split a pair of games in the Tournament Champions over the weekend at Bettendorf. You lost in a shootout to a very talented team from Kansas on Friday. You know, so 2 of your 3 losses now have come in PKs because you opened the season with a loss to Dallas Center Grimes in a shootout. And I know it's always kind of a crapshoot when you go to PKs. So does that make it all the more important to win the game during regulation or overtime so that you don't have to go to the PKs?
Yeah, we've realized that, like, once we go to PKs, like, it's going to be even, like, harder to win because, like, PKs are just, like, all luck. Like, obviously there's, like, the strategy of, like, placing the ball in the perfect area, but we know that it's, like, in our goalie's hands more than us. So we have realized that, like, we need to, like, start off the game right away and score right away, and, like, if we can do that, like, that sets the momentum for the rest of the game and it'll help us just prevent going to shootouts.
Let's talk about Friday's game now. Centennial also has an 8-3 record, and the Jaguars own some big wins as well. What do you think are going to be the keys to the game?
I think the keys will be shutting down their forwards. Like, we know a couple of their forwards are very strong, fast, and they can shoot from far out, and they have pretty good accuracy. So if we're able to shut down, especially for the back line, and then as, like, forwards, like, if we can just, like, keep attacking at their back line and just taking off all the shots possible, that'll be really important for us.
Well, Ava Martin leads the Jaguars in scoring. She has produced 8 of the team's 16 goals this season. She had the winning goal on Saturday in the team's 2-1 win over Whitefish Bay, Wisconsin at the Tournament of Champions. You know, will she be getting the bulk of the attention from your team's defense?
She is, because we know that she has a strong foot. She's very skilled and can shoot from far out. So she's one of the forwards that we're making sure that we're going to lock down.
Well, your team's top scorers have been Allie Mackey and Emma Gott. Allie's tied for 11th in Class 3A with 10 goals, while Emma has scored 8. And both of those girls, of course, are also running track, which is not easy to do. And I know you used to run track as well, so you know how tough, you know, it is to be a dual sport athlete. You know, do you miss track at all, or are you happy just focusing on soccer now?
I kind of miss it. I was actually, before I tore my ACL, I was looking at going back out for cross country and track, especially because it was my senior year, and I, like, didn't miss the team aspect of it. But after I tore it, I was just like, okay, I gotta focus on soccer now. And, like, I know, like, my knee would not be able to handle 2 sports at once. So, but it's nice seeing the other girls, like, enjoy track and just be multi-sport athletes.
Well, a win on Friday would allow you guys to move closer to that conference title and would also be the first win that you've had against Centennial in your varsity career. The Jaguars won the games in both 2021 and 22, and then last year's game, of course, was called a draw in the 46th minute due to rain and lightning. So I'm sure you and the other seniors are pretty motivated to get a win against the Jaguars, aren't you?
Yes, very.
Well, I know you guys feel like you have some unfinished business at the state tournament as well. You had that loss to Dowling in the quarterfinals last year, and then the year before you lost to Council Bluffs Lincoln in the semifinals, and that prevented what would have been an all-Ankeny matchup in the title game. If you guys could go on to win the Class 3A title, what would that mean to you to close out your career in that fashion?
That would be, like, the best feeling ever. Like, obviously, like, when you're playing high school soccer, like, winning a state championship would be the best thing ever. But honestly, like, just with this team, like, I'll just be happy getting to the state tournament. But if we make it to the state championship and end up winning, that'll be, like, the best moment of my life. Like, everything that we've, like, gone through and worked for, it'll be, like, totally worth it.
We talked earlier about your injury and what that meant to you and what it made you think about soccer. So have you thought about playing soccer at the college level?
I've thought about it, and as of right now, I am not going to, but I've always been looking at, like, the club sports and doing, like, intramural just because it'll be enjoyable. Like, I know I want to stay active in college and play some sports because I love the sports aspect and I love staying active. So I'll definitely, like, try to. If I could reach out to the coach and maybe walk on, I would really enjoy that.
Well, Liz, thanks a lot for coming in. I appreciate it, and good luck on Friday.
Thank you.
You bet. All right, listening to the Ankeny Fanatic Weekly Podcast, sponsored by Coldwell Banker Mid-America. MJ Properties is also a sponsor of the podcast and is also the title sponsor of Ankeny Fanatic. So I wanted to give a plug to MJ Properties as well. And also wanted to give a shout out to Jason Luge, as Jason and Denny Albaugh and the Albaugh Family Stables have one of the top contenders in this year's Kentucky Derby. Catching Freedom. I was hoping to have Jason on the podcast as well tonight to talk about the race, but he did leave yesterday for Louisville. So I just wanted to give him a shout out and best of luck on Saturday in that race. It should be a fun one. I know I'm planning to watch that. And I also wanted to give a shout out to one of our other sponsors, Central Bank, as they agreed today to renew their contract with us for another year. They sponsor our Athlete of the Month videos as well as our instant reaction videos, and we appreciate their support as well. All right, well, my next guest is a senior midfielder for the Ankeny boys team, and he has contributed 2 assists while helping the Hawks to an 8-6 record. He was supposed to be on the podcast 1 year ago tonight. I looked it up. We were going to preview last year's Ankeny Derby, but we had to cancel due to some technical difficulties, so I'm glad that we could get him back tonight. He's Gannon Ripley. Gannon, thanks for joining me. How are you doing?
Good. Thank you for having me, Dan.
Hey, you bet. Well, before we break down Friday's game, I wanted to recap your season thus far a little bit. You guys got off to a good start. You were 7-3 at one point and ranked as high as third in Class 4A. You know, what do you think was the key to your team's success early in the season?
The key to our success, I think, was just playing as a team. I don't know, our teamwork really helped us build the record that we had, and the confidence that we had at the beginning of the season really helped us put ourselves in that place early in the season.
Well, after you posted a 2-1 win at Southeast Polk on April 16th, your schedule did get a lot tougher. You guys suffered back-to-back shutout losses to No. 2 Dallin Catholic and No. 3 Waukee Northwest. And then after you rebounded with a 3-1 victory over Carlisle, which was the No. 10 team in Class 3A, you guys dropped a 3-2 decision to Pleasant Valley on Saturday in a shootout. And I know your coach, Trevor Fuccio, told me last weekend that he was hoping you guys could figure some things out this week. You know, have you guys had a good week of practice?
Yes, we've had a very good week of practice. Unfortunately, last night with the weather, we had to cancel, but Monday and today, both sessions were really well done, so I think we're feeling confident heading into Friday.
Well, do you think this recent stretch was a result of the tougher schedule, or have you guys just not been playing as well as you had been earlier?
The tougher schedule definitely impacts us, but I would say that our consistency is something that we've needed to improve on. So, and the tougher teams definitely like force us to play a different style and not play our style, but sometimes the consistency just isn't there, so we've had to drop some points. But overall, we've been staying the same team and staying strong through the season.
Well, of course, this is Trevor's first season as the head coach after he replaced Marcus Varnum, who then returned to the program as an assistant coach. So it seems like it was a pretty smooth transition with Trevor taking over the program. Has he made very many changes this year?
Not many changes. I would say it helped a lot that he was an assistant coach earlier on last year and the year before that. So it's really good to have a coach that already knows the team and the players. So the connection was already there. And a lot of the staff stayed the same with a few new additions. So that really helped a fluid transition between coaches and a good transition for the players to handle.
Let's break down this matchup on Friday. The Jaguars have certainly had their ups and downs as well. They entered the game with a 5-9 record and are coming off a loss to Pleasant Valley on Saturday as well. You know, what are your impressions of the Jaguars?
I've seen they can be a very good team. They'll definitely be a good challenge every year there are. It's always a really good fun playing them, and it's always fun to play like players you've grown up playing the whole life or your whole life. A lot of us have played with them on club teams in the fall and grown up playing with them, so it's always fun to play against them.
Well, they've certainly had a tough schedule too. Do you feel like they're a better team than what their record shows?
From what I've seen them play, they've shown that they can really put it to any team in the state. So I think the record may not do them justice, and that we should take them on like they're a top team in the state.
Well, they have had some big wins. They posted a 3-2 victory at defending state champion Johnston last Tuesday, and then they took Valley into overtime 2 days later before dropping a 3-2 decision to the Tigers. You know, I mean, they've shown at times that they can, you know, they can play with the best teams out there.
Yeah, that's a good way to put it. They've been able to play with the top teams, and I think consistency is also a thing for their team, same with ours. So it'll be a good challenge if both our teams show up. So.
What do you think are going to be the keys to this game?
Playing as a team is a big part of our play. So just teamwork and energy is always a good way to go into a game, especially with the bigger atmosphere on a rivalry game. So just using the atmosphere and stuff to just play our style and get into the game.
Well, you mentioned how some of those other teams maybe forced you guys to play a different style of soccer. Is that one of the keys to any game, really, is to play your style and not get, you know, and not get forced into some other kind of style?
Yes, it's definitely important to stay true to our values and how we play. It definitely lets us control the game. So
that's the plan going to every game, and just keeping that consistent with the team. It's always a battle, but always try to play our style, control the game our way, and get the result we need.
Well, Ty Duax is Centennial's leading scorer with 12 goals, and he's also added 5 assists. You know, I'm sure he'll be a big focus of your team's defensive effort, but the Jaguars have been strengthened by the recent addition of Ty's brother, Tate, who has already racked up 6 assists in the 7 games that he has played since he joined the roster. You know, I don't know if you've had a chance to see them play much or not, but how do you think Tate has changed their team?
He's definitely a good addition. I mean, any player coming in usually is going to make, especially instant starter on the team, is going to make a big difference. But at the same time, they're just another team that we need to play, and we'll just face it that way.
Well, you guys have been led offensively by Landon Benge, who has scored 10 of the team's 21 goals. Austin Lundberg has also had a productive season with 6 goals in his first year with the Hawks. Of course, Austin played on the Centennial team that posted a 4-0 victory in this game a year ago, so I imagine he's pretty pumped up about playing against his former teammates on Friday. Do you think this game will mean a little more to him?
You can always think of that because the especially with him being closer with their team, but I think that it'll kind of be the same as the rest of the players because we've all played with each other throughout our lives, so it shouldn't be too much different for him because he's played with them as much as we've played with them. So,
well, after Friday's game, you guys will have 2 more games left in the regular season, both of them at home. You'll host Urbandale on Tuesday, and then you'll host number 5 Valley on May 10th. And I saw the Tigers beat Centennial on Thursday, and that's a team that is a perennial power. Do you think that's a game that, you know, that should help prepare you guys for the postseason?
Yeah, it'll definitely prepare us for the postseason. They've shown that they can play with the top teams, so they'll definitely be a good preparing team for us later in the season for that postseason. So it'll be a good challenge for us and a good way to end our season.
Well, it's possible that you guys might have to beat a team like Valley in order to qualify for state. You know, you're still fighting for the best possible seed in the sub-state tournament, but since your team, you know, is currently unranked, you know, you're most likely going to have to beat maybe a ranked team somewhere along the way to get there, unless you can get back into the rankings here in the next couple of weeks. Do you feel like you guys are still fighting maybe for that number one seed if you can win out in these last 3 games?
I definitely think that we haven't lost our option for that, but the way that we can, if we play our style in all 3 games, I think we can definitely jump back up into rankings and maybe get a better seeding for sub-state. And that's always the goal to get, to especially to have a home sub-state final matchup. That's always the best case scenario. So we're always hoping for that. We're also always playing for that.
Yeah, you certainly want to have the easiest path possible to state, don't you?
Yes, especially if you're playing at home, it's always more comfortable. You always want to aim for that, especially in sub-state. Definitely adds a lot to the environment and the team you're playing with.
Well, Gannon, thanks a lot for coming in. I appreciate your time, and good luck on Friday.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
You bet. All right, well, my final guest tonight is a senior forward and captain for the 6th-ranked Centennial girls team. She's contributed 3 assists while helping the Jaguars to an 8-3 record, and she has signed a letter of intent to play at Rockhurst University next year. She is Avery Lewis. Avery, thanks for joining me. How you doing?
Good. Thanks for having me.
Hey, you bet. Well, before we break down Friday's game, let's recap the season to this point a little bit. You guys won 2 of 3 games over the weekend at the Tournament of Champions in Bettendorf. Your only loss came to Lockport Township of Illinois 2-0. And it sounds like that team had Division I players all over the field. Is that one of the best teams that you've ever played in your high school career?
I mean, yeah. Normally when we go to Bettendorf, it's really good competition. We dealt with this last year, too, where we played, I don't even know what other team, but a lot of Division I commits, and you just have to focus on the keys of the game and focus on how we play and just play through it.
Well, even though you guys lost that game, you know, do you think your team can benefit from playing a team like that?
Oh, totally. We definitely tried some like different like midfield tactics, which I think will benefit us later in the season.
Your team has certainly, you know, had some big wins this year. You got a hat trick from Ava Martin last Tuesday and a 3-0 victory over defending Class 3A state champion Johnston, and that improved you guys to 3-1 in the CIML, and that keeps you in the thick of the conference race. If you can beat Ankeny on Friday, that would really tighten things up because then every team in the league would have at least one loss. Do you guys put much of an emphasis, though, on winning the conference title or not really?
I mean, yeah, it's definitely, like, a goal that we have. Like, we go into the season with a lot of prep of like how to be the best team and how to like grow together, and we know that we're going to face adversity, but it's just how you bounce back from that, and that's what helps you win games.
Well, Ava has now scored 8 of your team's 16 goals this year, and I know you often take the corner kicks that have led to some of her goals. She's pretty fearless when she gets in the box, isn't she?
She is, yeah.
So you kind of look for her there when you do those corner kicks?
I mean, it's either her or Emery Becker.
Yeah. Let's break down this matchup on Friday. Ankeny also enters the game with an 8-3 record, and 2 of the Hawkettes' 3 losses have come in PKs. What do you think are going to be the keys to the game?
I just think we need to focus on like possessing and playing how we play. I think we've had a lot of success this year, even with like such a young team, of like possessing throughout the field. And I think there's a lot of moments where like you wouldn't be able to tell that we're so young. But just focus on like finishing our chances and organized defense and just continue to possess all over.
Well, Aiken's top scorers are Allie Mackey and Emma Gott, who have produced 10 and 8 goals respectively. Do you think they will get most of the attention from your defenders?
I mean, yeah, Ankeny has a lot of quality players. We've like grown up playing all together, so it's just really fun to like, on the flip side, like play against them because we all know like each other's like strengths and weaknesses.
Well, last year's game was called a scoreless draw in the 46th minute due to rain and lightning, and that ended Centennial's 7-game winning streak in the series. Ankeny's last win against the Jaguars came in 2015, and the Hawkettes have not even scored a goal against you guys since 2018 because the Jaguars posted shutouts in 2019, 21, and 22, and of course the 2020 season was canceled due to COVID. Now, Ankeny has had some great teams over the last 5 years. You know, they even won a state title in 2019. Why do you think the Jaguars have been able to dominate this series?
I mean, Ankeny has a lot of quality players, like you can't deny it, and they're always very quality in the conference, and like they've always done well in state, but I just think there's a different energy that we bring to a derby game than we do any other game. Same with like Waukee and Waukee Northwest. Like, you just see, like, it's a different sort of like energy and I don't know what's the word I'm looking for. Just a certain sort of like competitive edge that we all bring just because we all want bragging rights.
Sure. So. Well, after Friday's game, you guys will have 5 games left in the regular season, beginning with Monday's contest against Mason City, and you're going to play those 5 games in a 9-day stretch, so that's really going to be quite the grind to get your team ready for the postseason. You'll close out the conference schedule with back-to-back games against number one Waukee Northwest and number two Valley. You know, how are you guys going to survive that gauntlet? Will you have anything left for the postseason?
I mean, yeah, we always will, but you just need to put our heads down and focus one game at a time.
Well, of course, you play on the Jaguars team that won the state title in 2022, so you know what it feels like to win a championship. Mm-hmm. If you guys are fortunate enough to do that again, you know, do you think this one would mean even more just because you're a senior now?
Yeah, I mean, any state championship like means a whole lot. It's this group of girls has really grown together, and I love them so much, and we've worked hard, and we've been through a lot, and it's been really cool to see everyone grow. So it'd be the perfect way to end out any season, I'm sure anyone would say.
Well, Avery, before I let you go, I just wanted to ask you about something else. I know your brother Jackson is dating Avery Taylor, who's a defender on the Ankeny team. So where is he going to sit at the game on Friday, and who's he going to be cheering for?
I don't know. I told him he better be wearing Centennial. No hate to Avery, but...
Well, has that ever caused any confusion for him, you know, having a sister and a girlfriend both of the same name?
Yeah, it gets confusing in the house sometimes.
Well, Avery, I mentioned earlier that you're going to be going to Rockhurst to play next year. I'm sure you're looking forward to that. Do you think I'll have a chance to step in, you know, right away and play next year?
I mean, I sure hope so. I just need to put in the work, and whatever happens, happens, and just continue to grow.
Well, hey, Avery, thanks a lot for coming in. I appreciate your time, and good luck on Friday.
Thank you.
You bet. All right, you've been listening to the Ankeny Fanatic Weekly Podcast, sponsored by Coldwell Banker Mid-America. At Coldwell Banker, you're not one of many clients. You're our most important client. We listen to your needs to develop long-lasting relationships and provide the best services, professional support, and resources in the industry. We are constantly exploring new and innovative ways to elevate your experience and exceed your expectations. Our network of resources allows us to be the number one Coldwell Banker franchise affiliate in Iowa, guiding you home for over 30 years. I want to thank my guests again for coming in tonight. We had Ty Duex, we had Liz Proctor, Gannon Ripley, and we finished it off with Avery Lewis. I appreciate the time from all of those athletes tonight. Should be a fun Ankeny Derby on Friday. I'm looking forward to it. And come back next week for another edition of the Ankeny Fanatic Weekly Podcast.